Microsoft is expanding its plans in Mount Pleasant, and that could bring billions of dollars to Wisconsin. It's Monday, November 13th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the polls are going to be open tomorrow, but only for voters in a small northern Wisconsin town. Rich Kramer will have more on why. And a former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice has been ordered to hand over documents related to their work on a panel to see if impeaching a newly elected justice was possible. Stay with us.
On Wisconsin Today, you hear the biggest stories in our state delivered with the context you need from a source you can trust. This journalism is community supported. Join in now with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
Governor Tony Evers is announcing that Microsoft is expanding its plans for a data center in Mount Pleasant. Evers says the company will be investing billions of dollars at the site. Microsoft announced in March that it planned to build a data center on 315 acres once set aside for the Foxconn development in Racine County. The company broke ground at the center in September. A plan for Microsoft to buy more than 1,000 acres and invest billions of dollars in Racine County will go before the Mount Pleasant Village Board today. Evers says Microsoft's decision comes after legislation was included in the biennial budget designed to support data centers. It also follows the federal decision to designate Wisconsin as a regional tech hub. Voters in a small northern Wisconsin town will head to the polls tomorrow for a court-ordered redo of an election. As Rich Kramer reports, the judge said the redo is needed because irregularities undermine the results of the spring election.
Presque Isle's April town board election came down to a single vote. After a months-long lawsuit, a Vilas County judge found two absentee ballots had been cast illegally and there were procedural errors with three others. The judge cited no evidence of intentional fraud, but a new election was ordered. Former town board chair John McLean is the candidate who came up short the first time. He thinks a new election is the right call.
I'm all about the will of the people, and so if I'm not supposed to be the town chair, I'm not supposed to be the town chair, but it's got to be fair.
The unofficial winner this spring was the town's former clerk, Lorene Walters, who oversaw the election. Walters says she's glad a new election is being held, but she hopes whoever wins this time does it by more than one vote. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Another public university here in Wisconsin is announcing staffing cuts to balance its budget. The University of Wisconsin-Parkside says about 10% of its workforce will be eliminated. Interim UW-Parkside Chancellor Scott Menke told staff last week about 50 positions would be eliminated over the next year. That's through a combination of voluntary separations, layoffs, and attrition. The university in Kenosha has a deficit of $5.3 million. The layoffs are the second round of budget cuts announced at Parkside in recent months. Staff have been required to take unpaid furlough days since September. 10 of the 13 UW System's four-year colleges have budget shortfalls this year. Last month, UW Oshkosh eliminated 200 staff members, and UW Platteville cut 111 positions as both schools look to cut costs. A Dane County judge has ordered former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Patience Rogensack to release documents requested by a liberal watchdog group. As Sarah Lear reports, the ruling is just the latest development in a lawsuit involving threats of impeachment.
Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss asked Rogensack and other former conservative justices to advise him on the possibility of impeaching newly elected liberal justice Janet Protasiewicz. But American Oversight sued, arguing the panel violated Wisconsin's open meetings and open records laws. The group's executive director, Heather Sawyer, says the goal is transparency.
The threats to impeach a duly elected justice are, very significant. It's one branch of the government threatening an independent branch of the government.
Records obtained by American Oversight show former conservative Justice David Prosser advising Voss that lawmakers lack the grounds to impeach Protasiewicz. Friday's ruling means Rogensack has 30 days to release records related to her work advising Voss. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
So Some local leaders are pushing the Milwaukee Brewers to redevelop the land around American Family Field. They say they'd like to use part of the 160 acres of parking lots for other purposes. There are 1,200 parking spots at the site, which often sit vacant in the offseason. Some lots are even empty during games. Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson says he wants the team to look at other uses for the land as part of a bipartisan bill to fund renovations for the stadium.
The Brewers should really consider, and we should really use this conversation to push them, to have development around American Family Field.
Now that could be a combination of housing, retail, and hospitality uses. A Brewers executive has pointed to traffic concerns and the need to protect the team's tailgating culture as possible roadblocks. But some lawmakers want to create an advisory board to explore development around the stadium as part of that Brewers bill. The plan could be up for a full Senate vote as soon as this week. Coming up, WPR's Hope Kerwin visits southwestern Wisconsin to see how residents are dealing with the aftermath of a major flash flood. Stay with us.
Gardening in Wisconsin is a year-round job, and Garden Talk is here for you throughout every season. We help you battle relentless pests and pick your favorite mulch. We also cover how to care for houseplants and successful methods for starting seeds inside. We want to know what keeps your garden growing. Join me, Larry Mueller, for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network, Fridays at 11 and Saturday mornings at 6, or online anytime.
And finally, 5 years ago, southwestern Wisconsin was hit by an unprecedented flash flood that destroyed homes, businesses, and infrastructure. Now government officials and a grassroots community group are recommending a new way of dealing with flooding. As Hope Kerwin reports, their proposal is to decommission a system of dams which were built about 70 years ago.
A small unnamed creek flows through Tucker Greedebeck's farm in Monroe County. This fall, the water was only about ankle deep, but when it rains, water rushes down the steep slopes of the Driftless region into the valley. It's why more than 60 years ago, federal officials built a flood control dam there. In August of 2018, about 12 inches of rain fell over the area in roughly 6 hours. Greedebeck says he knew immediately that everything had changed after the storm.
Looking down through the trees, all I could see was sand. I could see white, and I knew everything was gone.
Half of the valley behind the dam had filled with water, overtopping the structure and bursting through the bluff of sandstone on one side. Today, the 40-foot grass-covered dam still ends in an abrupt drop, and huge chunks of sandstone dot the land.
You know, having something this big that backed up so much water, and when it fails, it's catastrophic.
The dam on Greedebeck's farm was one of five that failed in the Coon Creek and West Fork Kickapoo watersheds during the 2018 flood. Major flooding has become more common in the region in the last 2 decades, a trend scientists say is driven by climate change. In the aftermath of any natural disaster, attention turns to rebuilding. But recovery hasn't been simple here. Officials have realized that replacing these flood control dams that were built in the early 1960s is not the most cost-effective way forward. Steve Becker is state conservation engineer for the Natural Resources Conservation Service, the federal agency that built the dams. The flood that destroyed the dam on Greedebeck's farm is what's called a full pool event, and a repeat could be dangerous.
No one wants to see that type of a sudden breach if another full pool event occurs. Those sudden damages can take people off guard and can result in, loss of life.
That's one reason why the NRCS is recommending that 22 of the dams in the two watersheds be removed. Becker says that over the last 60 years, the dams have brought about 90 cents in flood control benefits for every dollar spent on construction and maintenance. But moving forward, rebuilding or reinforcing the dams would only provide around 10 cents in benefits to every dollar spent. That's mainly from increased construction costs. The NRCS will release the final draft of their Coon Creek Watershed Project Plan this month. After that, it will be up to county officials to decide how to move forward. But some residents are already working toward a future without the dams.
We know that there are structural issues, and so what we need to do is learn to live without them.
That's Nancy Wedwick, a longtime resident of the village of Coon Valley. She says local history inspired her and her neighbors to come together to form the Coon Creek Community Watershed Council. In the 1930s, the Coon Creek watershed was home to the first soil conservation project in the nation. The Civilian Conservation Corps worked with local farmers to stop the rampant erosion and flash flooding that was tearing apart the area during the Dust Bowl era. Wedwick says today, the council's goal is to raise awareness about land practices that can prevent flooding by putting more precipitation into the ground where it falls.
Here we are again now 90 years later, right? We've lost our way in some cases, and that, of course, is compounded by the change in climate and all of the weather that we are now seeing. But the important thing to remember is that we did this before.
In September, the group hosted a 90th anniversary celebration for the original Coon Creek Watershed Project to celebrate the history of their area and acknowledge the new set of challenges the region faces. Wedwick says it will take everyone in the watershed working together, but she's optimistic residents can do something to lessen the impact of floods like they did nearly a century ago. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
One quick sports update for you before we let you go. The Packers fell to the Steelers 23-19 yesterday. They're now 3-6 on the season. The Packers will play the Los Angeles Chargers next Sunday at noon. And that'll do it for this Monday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. And of course, Mallory Chang and John Davis, our producers today, helping put the podcast together. We'll be right back here on your podcast feed again tomorrow morning. Until then, have a great start to your week. We'll talk to you again soon.